Well, on this day, October 31st, in the year of 1517, 493 years ago, today, on this day, a humble monk named Martin Luther posted on the castle door, on the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, his 95 theses. You see, there was a need in Rome to build or rebuild St. Peter's Basilica, and they needed money. And so the Pope back then, Leo X, decided to send out people to go and do a thing called selling indulgences. Now, I'm sure you've all heard of this before. They would go and people would pay this guy money, and they would get a slip of paper, and the slip of paper basically said this: your sins are forgiven, and you will go to heaven because you paid this money. Now, it was a great way to get money for the church. But the downside of the whole thing is people said, well, now that all my sins are forgiven, I guess I don't need to go to church anymore. And so there were people that were actually stopped going to church and stopped worshiping God because they'd already paid their money, they had their indulgences, they were good. Now there was this monk named Martin Luther who was extremely upset by all of this. He knew that people should go to church, but more than that, as he researched the scriptures, he found out that God saves us by his grace, and it had nothing to do with paying money and buying indulgences. And so, on that cold morning, that cold autumn morning, that cold trick-or-treat morning, 493 years ago today, Martin Luther went to the castle church door. Now, Castle Church is still there today, and they still have the door. And it's a big wooden door, and it's where they would post things. And Martin Luther posted on that door with a great big hammer made of gold. No, it wasn't made of gold. It was just a simple hammer. He posted on there 95 theses. And the whole purpose of those theses was to start a discussion or a debate with the church about whether or not indulgences were the way to go, whether or not indulgences were even biblical. He didn't really want to make a big stir about anything. He just posted it up there and said, I'd like to debate somebody about this. Well, let me tell you something. When you're talking about money and a lot of it, the church did not want to do anything with this. They didn't want to have the debate. So they sent one of Martin Luther's superiors to Martin Luther and they said, you got to stop this guy. You got to stop this debate. And he went to Martin Luther and he said, stop it. Martin Luther says, I can't. I don't believe it. So they sent another superior to Martin Luther, and he says, I can't recant. I can't do it. Well, things got really serious. The emperor of Rome, Maximilian, decided that he was going to charge Martin Luther with an act of heresy, because certainly that would cause Martin Luther to recant his amazing writings and his 95 theses. But Martin Luther couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. And so finally, they decided to have a big inquisition, a big, big, huge inquisition where Martin Luther was to stand before the Pope and stand before the Emperor of Rome, stand before the whole entire church, and they would lay out in front of Luther all of these works and all of these writings, and they would say, you must recant of these things. And you all remember that Martin Luther went there. The year was 1521. And he stood before this council, what they called the Diet of Worms. I always thought that was a strange name, a Diet of Worms. But that's what it was called. It was a big, big disputation, and it was in Worms, Germany. That's why it's called the Diet of Worms. And he stood before them, and they said, you must recant all of this material that you've written. And Martin Luther said, here I stand, I can do no other. Ah, that's not what he said. Everybody thinks that's what he said, but this is what he said. He said, unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Holy Scriptures or by evident reason, for I can believe neither Pope nor councils alone, as it is clear that they have erred repeatedly and contradicted themselves, I consider myself convicted by my testimony of Holy Scripture, which is my basis, my conscience is captive to the Word of God. Thus, I cannot and will not recant, because acting against one's conscience is neither safe nor sound. God help me. Amen. Now, why did he have the God help me? It's because everyone else who had tried to go up against the Roman church, they didn't make it. So that's what he said. He was condemned as a heretic. He was excommunicated from the church, and he was headed back to Wittenberg, Germany. And he didn't know what was going to happen. But one thing he knew for sure, his life was going to be short because he had gone against the church. And everybody else who had gone against the church, their life was short. But what Luther didn't know was that he was being protected by a guy named Frederick the Wise. Now, he was an elector of Saxony. An elector is basically one of the few people that can eventually be the emperor of Rome. And Frederick was one of those people. And it was Frederick who was one of the people that voted for who the next Roman emperor was going to be. And Pope Leo X, believe it or not, you know who he wanted for the next Roman emperor? It was Frederick the Wise, the elector from Saxony. That's who he thought should be the next pope. And Martin Luther was going back to the castle church in Wittenberg when he was attacked by bandits. And they hooded him, and they put him on a place on a horseback, and they rode him to a far, far place away. It was called Wittenberg Castle. And there in Wittenberg Castle, he had been kidnapped by none other than the people of the Elector of Saxony, Frederick the Wise. And when he got to Wittenberg Castle, they didn't know he was Martin Luther because he told everybody that he was Junker George, Knight George. And he grew his hair long and he grew his beard, and nobody knew he was Martin Luther except for a select few. He was just Knight George in the protection of Frederick the Wise. And the whole entire Roman Empire was looking for Martin Luther, and they could not find him. Now, at this point of the story, it is worthwhile to pause just a little bit and think about Martin Luther. Because at this point in his life, he is now been excommunicated from the church. He is a heretic. And now the whole entire Roman Empire, the most powerful empire in the world, is after his skin. And here he is in Wittenberg Castle waiting to see what's going to happen. And he knows that the whole entire world is against him. The whole entire powerful world that he knows is against him. It must have been very difficult. I mean, think about it. If the United States government wanted to be against you, how difficult that would be. Think about Osama bin Laden. I think we have a bounty on his head. And when you've got a bounty on your head from the United States government, you know, you really know who your friends are. Because the friends are the ones that don't turn you in. Because all they have to do is keep upping the price. I mean, how much is your price for loyalty? Is it $1 million? Is it $10 million? Is it $100 million? Am I talking to you yet? Is it $1 billion? How much money buys your friend's head? And when the powerful people are against you and they have all the money and you have none, think of how difficult that is. But Luther's struggles even went further than that, because Luther had an internal struggle also. You see, Luther believed that rulers and authority were a gift from God, that they were placed in their positions of authority by God to rule over people justly, and as good citizens, as good people in that community, they needed to follow that authority. And so he had that on one side, and yet on the other side, he had this strong sense that he was following God's will, and he was doing what is right. And he knew what the rules were, and yet he knew what he believed God was telling him. It was a terrible struggle internally within Martin Luther to follow the rules that he loved so much, and yet to follow the God that he loved so much. How many of you have been in that kind of struggle? Think about it. How many of you have been told to honor your mom and your dad, and yet your mom and your dad don't seem to be worthy of honor because they do horrible things? Or how about this one? Honor your country and obey the laws, and yet you need to pay taxes to that country that supports things that you don't believe in. How many of you have said, honor your employee, your employer, and do what is right for your employer, but your employer tells you to do shady things, but it's the only way to make your company work? How many have been told to stay married in a relationship, and yet it is so difficult? Martin Luther lived in that horrible time of wanting to please both sides, and he just couldn't do it. And in the time of the Reformation, at the time of Martin Luther, it was an incredible struggle if all you did was always obey the laws. But Martin Luther noticed something because he was reading in Ephesians. And he realized by reading Ephesians that there is an out. And the out is this. Ephesians 8, 2 through 9. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Clear as day. Clear as day. You're not saved by following either this path or this path. You are saved because of God's grace. And once Martin Luther realized that you are saved by God's grace and God's grace alone, his whole entire world changed. Totally changed. And now he was completely on fire to get that word out to the people. You know, we've been going through this series of King David. And King David even knew that. The fact that God's grace is sufficient and that God is in charge of salvation is even in our Old Testament lesson today, where David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all the enemies and from the hand of Saul. David said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and he is my savior. From violent men you saved me." Even King David knew that salvation came from God himself. What does this mean? Luther found out one thing, and it's something that we've been talking about as a confirmation class over the past 3 years. And it's this. It's that God's economy is different. God's arithmetic is different. In the world's arithmetic, you basically do all these good things, and then God gives you all these good things, right? Isn't that the world's arithmetic? But God's arithmetic is different. What Martin Luther found out is this: God gives you everything and doesn't demand anything in return. But out of that incredible love that he's given us everything, including the death of his son, Jesus Christ, to wipe away all our sins, we therefore are compelled to do everything for him. That's what happened to Martin Luther. So here he is in Wartburg Castle, Junker Jan, Knight George, and he has 11 months. He doesn't know what to do, and he realizes, you know what I got to do? I've got to get this message out to the people. And so he takes the Bible that was in Latin and he translates it. He translates the whole entire Bible from Latin to German so that it can be given to the people. And it created a reformation not only in the church, but in the Roman church, and it created a reformation in the world. As a matter of fact, Time magazine lists Martin Luther as one of the top 10 most important people of the last millennium. Luther is up there with St. Francis of Assisi and Gutenberg and Michelangelo, Galileo, Shakespeare, Jefferson, that's Thomas Jefferson, Mozart, and Einstein. He takes his place among those people, and all he did was read in the Bible and found out that it is by grace you are saved, through faith and not of works. It's nothing that we do. It's everything that our God does for us. And that's what we celebrate today. In Jesus' name, amen.